You're listening to Clinical Conversations from the NEJM Group. I'm Joe Elia. Our guest is Dr. David Ansell, the author of a fascinating new book, The Death Gap, How Inequality Kills. Dr. Ansell is a professor of medicine at Rush University Medical Center in Chicago, where he's also associate provost for community health equity. Welcome to Clinical Conversations, Dr. Ansell.
Thank you.
Could you explain what the death gap in the title of your book measures?
Yes. I'll give an example. In the Loop in Chicago on the lakefront, life expectancy is 85 years. If that neighborhood was a country, it'd be ranked number one in the world, think Japan. But if you go three stops past my hospital on the blue line of the Chicago Transit Authority, life expectancy plummets to 69, which is lower than the life expectancy in Bangladesh. That gap between the Loop and literally total of seven L stops to this neighborhood, this life expectancy gap is 16 years, which is greater than the gap in life expectancy between Haiti and the United States. And every street in every city in this country, really every place in this country, has these life expectancy gaps. In fact, the largest life expectancy gap in America is about 35 years between the highest life expectancy neighborhood and the lowest. It's literally a half day away. You can lose all of those years in life expectancy. And I write about this because in my observations as a physician who's actually worked in different institutions, different neighborhoods, this is all largely reversible and preventable.
It is said that the gap is attributed to so-called health inequity, but you prefer to call that structural violence instead of health inequity. That's a stark term. Can you elaborate a bit on structural violence?
Yes, I mean, I think health inequities are differences in the outcomes in populations that are caused by injustice. It's caused by things that do not have to be, like access to health care or treatments that are available to one population or another. And I actually look at the root causes of these inequities that lead to these life expectancy gaps. And I say the root cause, the cause of this is structural violence. What I mean by structural violence is that public policy, laws, the way that we interact on a day-to-day basis, the rules governing society, advantage some over others. And so structural in nature, many of these inequities are not due to beliefs, behaviors, and biology, but actually the very living conditions in neighborhoods that have been imposed on these neighborhoods. So structural in that manner. And it's violent because people are hurt or die as a result of this. And this term structural violence is not my term, as I borrowed from Paul Farmer and others who have used this to explain why you would have these huge place-based differences and life experiences. So this is not just about people's lifestyles. People are living very, very different lives. And if you take the west side of Chicago and you look back on the history of it, it's really active exploitation over many, many years that have created conditions in neighborhoods and that have made it hard for people to rise above it and live full and healthy lives.
Yeah, I was talking with a friend about your book, and I mentioned Chicago's dramatic death gap. You know, the fact that you could walk a half mile from the Hyde Park neighborhood to the Washington Park neighborhood and show, you know, a 14 years drop in lifespan. And he immediately said, "Oh well, that's got to be gun violence, right?"
And, yes.
And it's not.
Yes.
So do you get that? Do you get that reaction often when you talk about the death gap in the Chicago?
Every single time I get in front of an audience or speak to people, that's the image that comes to mind. And certainly, gun violence is a problem, and I don't want to minimize the importance of gun violence. But the 60% of these deaths, and these are premature deaths. These are people who are dying prematurely, largely between the ages of 25 and 64. And These deaths are largely from common diseases, heart disease, cancer, diabetes. And I'm not saying gun violence doesn't contribute a piece to it, but it's not the whole story. And by the way, the news recently that people have reported on is these deaths are not exclusive to black inner city neighborhoods of concentrated poverty. They exist all around the country. And the group that people are talking about the most now are white people across America, men and women, who are high school educated without college degrees, who are dying prematurely in such great proportions that the number of deaths are greater than those during the AIDS epidemic. And, you know, we've heard about the opioid epidemic. And just to put gun violence and overdoses in perspective, there are 30,000 gun violence-related deaths in the United States every year. 20,000 are suicides. 10,000 are murders of the kind that people conjure up in their heads when they think Chicago. But there are about 60,000 deaths from opioids, largely in white high school educated folks. And Ann Case and Angus Deaton, two Princeton economists, call these diseases of despair or diseases of cumulative disadvantage. As life possibilities disappear for people, whether it be in jobs, community life, people despair. And in the inner city, that despair may be picking up a gun and shooting it. And in, you know, rural Sacramento or Kentucky, it may be a drug overdose. But we have a serious structural problem in the United States that's causing these premature deaths.
So you've written an impassioned book, and you've got the numbers to back the passion up. How did you get interested in the death gap in health equity?
Well, as an unusual, piece of fate, I ended up leaving upstate New York as a young graduate of Upstate Medical Center and going to Cook County Hospital in Chicago to train. And really, over the past almost 40 years now, on one street in Chicago, Ogden Avenue, I've worked in three hospitals. Mm-hmm. They're literally within a mile of each other, and my patients have come with me. 17 years at the public hospital of Cook County, 10 years I was chair of internal medicine at a place called Sinai Health System in the Lawndale community of Chicago. And for the last 11 years, I've been at Rush University Medical Center, first as chief medical officer, now doing this health equity work. And through the eyes of my patients, I call this One Street, Two Worlds, because what's available to me and my patient at an academic medical center wasn't available literally across the street at the public hospital. I give the example of being able to refer a patient for a transplant. In 27 years in safety net, Cook County, I was chief of general internal medicine. At Mount Sinai, I was chair of medicine. I had a lot of ability to get things done, but not one of my patients or any of the patients in these institutions ever got a life-saving transplant, because they either lacked insurance, they were uninsured, or they couldn't negotiate the distance between the one place and the transplant centers. And yet both of these places were trauma centers, and the organs from the largely black, brown, and uninsured patients went to a place like Rush, where I work now, or the other transplant centers, to largely transplant white patients. Yeah. And it was shocking to me to come to now a transplant center and with an insured population now suddenly be able to get these things done. I do give the example in the book. I was on the independent board of the public hospital as one of the board members, and the chief medical officer from the Cook County Health and Hospital System at the time came over to see me in my office, literally across the street, and said, "David, the waiting list for the eye clinic at County is so long that you can go blind on the waiting list." Yeah. And literally across the street at my hospital, you can see the eye doctor today. There's hardwired inequality built into our healthcare system, and it's built into our healthcare system because of the way we decided to finance healthcare. And in poor neighborhoods, if they have anything left at all, they tend to be underfunded, distressed institutions. And it's not the doctors or the nurses who are practicing there. is often the resources that are just out of reach, that literally are available either down the street or across town, neither the doctors nor the patients can readily access. Yeah. It's worse in rural America, by the way. The geography of this is very, very problematic in rural America. It's not a white or black issue. It's actually not a left and right issue. It's a right and wrong issue. And I've experienced it through my own eyes. So that animated me to write about this in The Death Gap.
You offer a strong criticism of the Affordable Care Act in the book, which I suspect was largely written before the election. So what is your reaction to the current proposals in Congress, your reaction and those of your colleagues?
Yes. The book was written largely before the election, and I am a critic of the Affordable Care. But let me just say this. There are many fantastic things that happen under the Affordable Care Act. Number one, we defined what essential health benefits were. Two, we eliminated pre-existing condition clauses so people could access insurance. Three, in many places, at least 31 places in the country, states and the District of Columbia, we expanded Medicaid. Four, we created at least the possibility for people to buy insurance. But the problem with the Affordable Care Act is that the structural inequities that are built into the way we finance health insurance were built into that system. Many, many people benefited. I saw a patient in my office just last week, just got out of prison, 50 years old, been in prison for 25 years, got on Medicaid, which he would have never been able to get on, and could come see me at Rush, which would have never happened without the Affordable Care Act. So we can't reverse the gains of the Affordable Care Act. We just can, if we really care about equity, we can do better. That said, the attempts to repeal and replace it are abhorrent, and they're abhorrent to not just to me, but to physicians and the American people. It would transfer at least $600 billion from the Medicaid program into the top 1% and 2% of the country, and ultimately take 23 million people off the insurance rolls. And from a mortality perspective, for every million people who are uninsured, there are 1,000 deaths a year. So that will be 23,000 excess deaths a year that could be avoided. So we oppose it. Interestingly, I was involved in Chicago with a survey that's going to be released this week of Chicago doctors. I call them Main Street doctors, members of the AMA, members of Chicago Medical Society, who were surveyed about the ACHA. And 90% are against the ACHA. People prefer both single-payer health care and an improved the Affordable Care Act. And actually, when you line these up against each other, by a 2-to-1 margin, Chicago doctors, and these are mostly people in group practice and private practice, practicing all along the area, prefer single-payer improved Medicare for all over the Affordable Care Act, and by a 3-to-1 margin, prefer single-payer over the ACHA. But I can say the ACHA is extremely unpopular. The ACA is actually, by the American people, 53%. I made the last poll, I think the Gallup poll was 58% of the American people are actually in support of the Affordable Care Act. So I think the tenor of this country is to not reverse it, but we may actually see a reversal play out in the Senate.
Well, I want to let you go, but I wanted to ask you one final question, Dr. Ansel, and that is, what one thing would you want clinicians to do as a result of learning about the death gap and its causes?
This is structural in nature, it's because the way we've organized our insurance system, it's a complicated issue because you have growing income inequality and growing poverty in the country. The country is a much poorer country now than it has been. The median take-home income in the United States is $31,000. the least we can do as physicians is advocate for a fair healthcare financing system. So it's one thing for people to be poor. It's one thing to have income inequality. Those are larger economic issues that we have to address. But the idea that one should die early because you don't have the right card and you don't have the right insurance, or the insurance doesn't provide you the kinds of things you need, is to me un-American, unfair. And I think all of us, all of our voices need to be weigh in about a fair healthcare system. And I think that needs to be an improved single-payer Medicare for all.
Well, thanks so much for your time with us today, Dr. Ansel. Your book is available through the University of Chicago Press. And again, the title is The Death Gap,